It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra's historic concert in Iran. The PSO is the last American orchestra to perform in Iran. They did so back in 1964. A half century later, much has changed. Diplomatic relations between Iran and the United States ended with the Iran hostage crisis back in 1979. And recently, there are tensions over Iran's nuclear program and aspirations. In spite of this, or perhaps because of it, the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra is making plans in conjunction with the American Middle East Institute to return to Iran, even though the Iranian government has yet to extend an official invitation. Could cultural diplomacy, spearheaded by the PSO, lead to better relations between the U.S. and Iran? You can join our conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can always reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. We already have a Twitter response to the question, should the Pittsburgh Symphony perform in Iran? Alex writes, yes, cultural outreach is the most important aspect of diplomacy. I'm joined now in Studio A by the Pittsburgh Symphony Senior Vice President of Artistic Development and Audience Engagement, Robert Moyer. Robert, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
And joining us in studio as well is Simin Curtis. She is president of the American Middle East Institute. Simin, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
How did the idea of the Pittsburgh Symphony returning to Iran after 50 years come about?
It's a complicated story.
Well, we've decided, Bob and I have talked about this, we've decided that we've both had this dream to do this, and it seems to be like, we'd like to call it great minds thinking alike. But actually back in 2009, when my organization was really only about a year old, we were talking about bringing the symphony to the to Iran for a breakthrough concert. And we actually at that time were working with Bob. We brought some cultural attachés Iranian cultural attachés to Pittsburgh and brought them to the symphony. And Bob had unearthed a poster from 1964 when the symphony had first performed in Tehran. And then we started talking about this idea. Unfortunately, the elections took place in Iran and Ahmadinejad was reelected and there were protests in the streets and the whole thing, you know, we had to, that whole project died right then. But we've resurrected it again. And Bob, you can also say you've had this dream, I know.
Well, I've worked for the Pittsburgh Symphony for almost 25 years, and this poster that hangs on the wall, I've looked at many, many times. We have a very long history of touring. We've been to a lot of places in the world, but the poster of our concerts in Tehran in 1964 was especially exotic to me, particularly because of the fact that we, you know, are enemies or had been enemies throughout much of the last 30 years. It occurred to me after a few years that many of the places we've toured, we've returned to, but we've never returned to Tehran. And of course, that could never happen unless diplomatic relations were restored and tension were eased, and basically we stopped being bitter enemies. So it was in my mind just that, wouldn't it be wonderful if someday this could happen because of what it would symbolize for peace in the Middle East? Simin was the first one to actually give voice to the idea in 2009, and when she came and approached me about it, and that was when we first started talking about it, and then it came up again now in this past July when President Rouhani was elected, and that seemed to be, to us, a very clear signal that things were going to be changing for the better.
And that's because he's much more moderate than Ahmadinejad was, so therefore, is that sort of the catalyst for this, that there is maybe more, that this is a signal that Iran's society is opening up more to Western influence?
Absolutely. I mean, that, I think, is why we have seen an interim agreement take place. You know, talks about the interim agreement start with President Rouhani being elected. Suddenly, the United States seemed to have a partner that they might be able to work with. When Bob and I started talking this past, I guess it was this past July of 2013, about how Rouhani had been – this new president was elected in Iran, we said, why don't we revisit this idea of taking the symphony to Iran in a people-to-people cultural show of friendship, true cultural diplomacy. And, you know, next thing we knew, we actually wrote to President Rouhani. I got an endorsing letter from the honorary chair of my institute, Paul O'Neill, and we wrote to Rouhani, and next thing we knew, we were visiting with the vice president of Iran on the sidelines of the United Nations in last September.
And we're hearing a target date. We're hearing that you're hoping to pull this all together to make a trip possible for the PSO in September. Is that in fact the target date?
Well, let me. Excuse me. Let me just go back to something you said at the very beginning. You said we're making plans. We're not actually making plans at this point because we don't have an invitation. We can't make plans until we have an invitation.
But you're putting a plan in place, essentially, right?
What we're doing is we're exploring the idea. And in order to do that, we have to work very closely with both the State Department and the Iranian government. So we've been involved with the State Department every step of the way. And the Iranian government has received, after our meeting with Dr. Najafi in late September in Pittsburgh, he asked us to send proposals. So we sent those, and we waited for them to make the rounds of various ministries that had to approve or not object. And finally, in December, we heard back that it had finally made all of those rounds and that we would be hearing from a man who was appointed to be our contact person. That first meeting, to even begin discussions, took place on January 7th. So while we have been talking about it and thinking about it and talking to people in the community about it since last July and thinking about if we do get the invitation, how will we do it? But we're not actually making plans because we don't have dates. Yes, we would like to do it in the first week of September because that would coincide almost exactly with the 50th anniversary of the two concerts we performed in Tehran in 1964.
Which then leads to the question that some are wondering about, and that's how – this tour could be planned between now and September, given that orchestra tours often take years to plan.
Well, I know that very well. As I do a lot of the early planning for our tours, but I should point out that even though it's very difficult to make a big symphony orchestra that has a lot of work rules and we schedule our own activities a year and a half, 2 years in advance or more, we were able to go to the Vatican in 2004 on 6 months' notice. We got the invitation in July. We were there in January. So it is possible if it's an extraordinary project like this.
And I understand that four musicians whose retirement would have gone into effect August 31st have said they want to stay on for this tour. What can you tell us about that?
Just that's what I was told by our personnel manager last Friday, the day the story broke in the Post-Gazette.
We are talking about a possible trip for the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra to Iran on what would be nearly the anniversary to the day of their trip back in 1964 to Iran. 50 years ago, they played in Iran. They were the last American orchestra to perform in Iran, and they are hoping to return this fall, hopefully in September. And we'd like to hear from you about your thoughts of this potential trip. Is this a good idea? 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002. What are the potential benefits for the Pittsburgh area, for the Pittsburgh Symphony, certainly, and for the United States as a whole in terms of its relationship with Iran if the PSO performs in Tehran this September? 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can tweet us as well. At ESSPGH, follow the conversation at #EPLive. Go ahead, Mr. Boyer.
We talked about 1964, and I wanted to point out that cultural diplomacy using a symphony orchestra started really in 1964 with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Many people think that it started in 1973 after President Nixon opened up the relationship with China. And the Philadelphia Orchestra made a very celebrated trip to perform in China in 1973. But actually in 1964, the State Department sent the Pittsburgh Symphony on an unbelievably long 11-week tour of Europe, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, Western Europe, The orchestra left Pittsburgh on August 10th, 1964, and returned home on November 1st. That's, to my knowledge, the longest major symphony orchestra tour that's ever been undertaken. It was entirely sponsored by the State Department. It was entirely booked. Where we played was the requests of the State Department. And we played in Tehran. We played in Lebanon. We played in a number – half of the tour, we were behind the Iron Curtain. So we have a long history of performing cultural diplomacy. And, of course, anytime the Pittsburgh Symphony goes on tour, whether it likes it or not, it's acting as an ambassador. And it's a very powerful symbol of its city and its country and the culture of our people. So when we talked about this idea, we were thinking about resurrecting that kind of project so that we could have the opportunity for people. See, we're not diplomats. We're not politicians. We're just people with an idea. And sometimes when governments have a lot of trouble and they struggle to resolve differences, the people actually have a much easier time of doing that.
Oftentimes, this is what it takes. And Simon, I wanted to ask you about the political climate in Iran in 1964. Probably there was more tension, as you mentioned. And Robert, you brought the term Iron Curtain, which some of the millennials listening might not remember or be familiar with that term, but when there were so many communist countries in Eastern Europe up until about 20 years ago, when that all started to break apart and the Soviet Union broke apart, that was really the hot spot in a lot of ways, and certainly China was one. But in Iran, it's much more of a difficult relationship for the United States now than with other countries. 50 years ago, it was different. The Shah was in power. Describe the climate under which the symphony went 50 years ago.
Well, I would say that the United States really wanted to establish a very strong friendship in Iran. We had our oil companies there. There were a lot of Americans there. And actually, my father, who's Iranian, he's an American citizen now, lives in California. My father brought his family, my mother and my two brothers, to Iran in the late 60s. And at that time, there were Americans everywhere. There were Europeans everywhere. It was a time where it was becoming very westernized. In 64, I think that there was still an interest in having the United States express friendship and try to paper over the coup that had happened in 1953 that the United States was behind that overthrew the Iranian democratically elected leader. So I mean, there was still some of that. And there were different elements in Iranian society, I think, that where goodwill gestures were important.
And certainly a lot of the tensions then led to what happened in 1979 at the embassy, and now today a much different situation. We're talking about the possibility of the PSO going back to Iran under some very difficult circumstances, certainly with regard to the relationship between the U.S. and Iran and the lack of diplomacy that exists between the two countries. Our guests in Studio A, Senior Vice President of Artistic Development and Audience Engagement, Robert Moyer. He's with the PSO. And Simon Curtis is President of the American Middle East Institute. If you would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Howard calling from the waterfront. Howard, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you very much. I'm belatedly buying a space heater for my house, and of course I have you tuned in. My question is, knowing that there are several Jewish members of the Pittsburgh Symphony and at least one Israeli, has that topic come up with your Iranian contacts? And if so, what has been the result?
There has been no discussion of that with anybody from the Iranian government yet, and don't know if there will be.
And I would just like to add that in order to take the symphony over, we would want to, be completely assured that everything would be, there would be no problems whatever, regardless of what anybody's religion is. And let me just say that there is a very ancient Jewish community in Iran, the second largest population of of Jewish people in the Middle East after Israel. And there is actually a Jewish member of parliament, and there is actually a historic friendship between the Jewish people and the Persians. But we would solve any problems that we needed well before taking the symphony over. If there were any questions at all, these are things that we would absolutely solve. And I'll tell you, one of my most enthusiastic backers is a well-known businessman in the Pittsburgh region who is Jewish and went to Iran a couple of years ago and was overwhelmed by the hospitality that he received from the Iranian people. That's my dear friend Robert Levin of Levin Furniture, and he just could. It was so eye-opening. And I said, well, what about the fact that you were Jewish? And he said, you know what? It never even came up. I was an American. And that's how I look at this also. This is not a Jewish or non-Jewish thing. This is an American gesture of friendship and goodwill. Cultural diplomacy at its finest is what I believe this symphony trip would be.
Howard, thank you for the phone call. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. You mentioned, Simon, some of the reaction. Robert, what have you heard from outside of the organization, from outside of the symphony? What are Pittsburghers telling you about how they feel about the idea of the Pittsburgh Symphony going to Iran?
Well, if people object to it, they haven't told me. I'm sure there are people who have questions about it and wonder why we would do it. That's what we're trying to address right here today. But I haven't heard negative feedback. I've heard reports of negative feedback. But neighbors who have read the story in the Post-Gazette have commented to me how exciting it is that we might be able to – the Pittsburgh might be able to play a role in this new era of relations in the Middle East.
Authoritarian regimes, and certainly that's what we've seen in Iran of late – they have been known to create cultural exchanges for their own purposes. What concerns does that raise for you?
Well, I think you might be referring to a trip to North
Dennis
Korea.
Dennis Rodman.
Well, that's certainly one recent example, yes.
Well, the New York Philharmonic went to North Korea. I'm not sure what was the genesis of that idea. But in this case, the government of Iran did not cook this up as something that would benefit its standing in the West. This idea came out of Pittsburgh.
And Simon, do you see something like this leading to better relations between the U.S. and Iran?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I don't think we could be going over or taking the symphony over unless there was not some kind of thawing of relations taking place already. So we have this interim agreement that has just being implemented now. It goes on for 6 months. Any number of things could happen where, you know, maybe it will fail, maybe people won't comply, and it could all die. However, I'm hopeful that this is the farthest we've come in 35 years of estrangement between the United States and Iran. And, you know, I think that that maybe this is the time that maybe we will hit it at the right moment, that after this 3.5 decades of enmity, that we will actually be hitting the wave of by taking the symphony over right when these relations are starting to thaw and to bring about benefits. And I fully expect that this will then open the door. I mean, sanctions won't unwind overnight. They're very complicated legal things going on there. But I think that this will help open the door, what we're proposing. It's extremely exciting and extremely historic, and I hope it happens. I'm passionate about it, and we'll do everything I can to make it happen.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation here on Essential Pittsburgh with our guests, Pittsburgh Symphony Senior Vice President of Artistic Development and Audience Engagement, Robert Moyer. Also joining us in studio, Simon Curtis, President of the American Middle East Institute. We're talking about the possible trip that the PSO, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, could be taking to Iran as early as September of this year. 412-246-2002. If you have a question or comment to make about this proposed trip, do you think it's a good idea? Is this something you think can open the door for better relations between the U.S. and Iran? Is this the way to achieve diplomatic, or at least to open the door for diplomatic relations, which currently do not exist between the United States and Iran. 412-246-2002. There were discussions about possibly bringing the Tehran Symphony to Pittsburgh back in 2010, which sounds very intriguing, but it didn't happen. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I wasn't aware of it. I've heard about this.
Nor was I.
Since the story came out. And I'm told that the Pittsburgh Symphony objected to it, but I'm surprised to hear that because I don't recall ever hearing anything about the orchestra coming, and I would certainly have had no objection to it myself. I'm also surprised that Simon didn't hear anything about it because of her role as the president of the Middle East Institute and as an Iranian-American.
Let's go to the phones. We have Peter from Pittsburgh joining the conversation. Peter, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say I am a professor of ballet at Point Park University here in downtown Pittsburgh, and I wanted to applaud the PSO for the bravery of using the arts as a way of reconnecting different groups of humanity that have been so at odds for so long. I think that this is the best and most wonderful use of our artistic endeavors, and I just wanted to praise you for what you are attempting to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for weighing in, Peter. We appreciate that. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to share an opinion with us. And certainly this type of cultural exchange is not unprecedented. We've seen it with arts. We've seen it with sports. Is this something that when you work outside of official channels that can be potentially more effective?
Well, I was going to say that the State Department strongly encourages – that's why they've been so supportive of what we're doing. They strongly encourage this kind of people-to-people cultural engagement. And they have a number of programs that they have worked on over the years, bringing the Iranian wrestling team here, sending the U.S. wrestling team to Iran. They have their seismologists, U.S. seismologists working with Iranian seismologists on because they have, you know, big earthquake problems in certain regions of Iran. These kinds of things have been strongly encouraged by the State Department because this is really the only kind of positive connection they have when governments don't have any kind of, you know, a formal diplomatic relation. So these kinds of relationships that we're doing with this cultural, artistic connection is very good for diplomacy all around.
How do you suppose the Iranian people feel about this?
The reports that I'm hearing are that they're extremely enthusiastic and can't wait for us to get there. One thing I wanted to mention in response to your last question, Simon and I met in September in New York with a man named Mohammad Ali Najafi. Dr. Najafi is the vice president of Iran and a most impressive man. He went to school at MIT. He studied in the United States, lived in the United States for a while. Dr. Najafi said something to us in the meeting, which I think was the perfect motivation for cultural diplomacy. He said that in his mind, art and politics should always be separate, and that when politics struggle to resolve differences, art can lead and politics will follow. And with that, he endorsed the idea and said he would like to see it happen and that he would try everything he could to make it happen when he got back to Iran.
Very interesting. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation with Robert Moyer of the PSO and Simon Curtis of the American Middle East Institute. Let's go to Marvin in Pittsburgh. Marvin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, I'm calling to bring up a historical item that I think might be relevant to the present thinking and planning of the PSO making an appearance in Iran.
Okay, Marvin. Let me just stop. If you can turn down your radio, we'll wait for you. But that would help us understand hear your question.
I have my radio off.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Should I go on?
You may. Yes. Thank you. Please.
Okay,
please do.
The incident was about 10 or 15 years ago, shortly after Lauren Mazel left the Pittsburgh Symphony to become director of the New York Philharmonic. And he made arrangements for the New York Philharmonic, I'm quite sure it was, to make a guest appearance of the New York Philharmonic in North Korea. And the concert was arranged and was televised, and I saw it on Channel 13. And when they the symphony, the performance was memorable. There was an encore of the New York Philharmonic playing the North Korean national anthem, and there was not a dry eye in the audience when they played. So he came back to the United States, tried to arrange a reciprocal visit by the North Korean Philharmonic to the United States, to New York or to Pittsburgh, to give a concert. But the United States State Department refused to give visas and to permit the visit by the North Korea Orchestra to come to the United States. I think that's relevant to the present issue.
Well, you know, I think that the Iranians would very much like us to consider having a reciprocal visit by the Tehran National Orchestra. And so that is something we would certainly strongly consider and support. And I'd just like to think, though, that that Iran is a very different proposition than a North Korea. Iran is a very there's 76 million people. They're very tech savvy. They are very connected and wired into the global community. And I think that I think that we have this backdrop of the interim agreement between Iran and the United States and its allies is also bringing about this thaw. And I don't know that, you know, I think North Korea is a very different proposition than Iran.
One thing about Iran, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up, certainly the Middle East is one of the real trouble spots in the world right now, and we have the situation in Syria. We have tensions in Libya, and we all know what happened in Benghazi last year. And the Olympics are coming up in Russia, and we are hearing about potential threats to people attending the Olympics, to the athletes potentially being in danger, American athletes telling their family members not to come. With all of that going on and hanging over our heads, what concerns do you have about the members of the symphony going over there and potentially being put in harm's way?
Well, I first of all, that's at the very top of the list to be discussed when we get there in February. Simon and I are going over in February to have our first face-to-face discussions with the Iranians about this project. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. But it's important to stress that, as you just said, there are a lot of places in the Middle East that are not stable right now. Iran is not one of them. Iran is probably one of the most stable societies in the Middle East right now. You don't hear about car bombings in Iran. You don't hear about the things that come out of Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a very civilized place. You can go on YouTube and look at videos of everyday life in Iran. No, of course.
I don't mean to counter what you're saying, but I think it's important to bring up that it was just a few years ago that some Americans who were presumably innocent were imprisoned there. So again, I would think there would have to be concerns about if somebody strays off course, you know, as people are going about their visit in Iran, this kind of thing could happen.
I nothing is ever completely foolproof, but I would say that we are entering a new thaw, a new sort of era, a potential very positive era with Iran. And really, I don't think that we we should be I really do think that these are solvable problems as far as security goes. I mean, in the New York Times last week, there was a headline or certainly on the front page above the fold talking about how the United States and Iran really do have common cause against al-Qaeda. They hate al-Qaeda every bit as much as we do. They were actually cooperating with us, if those of you will remember, after 9/11. They were cooperating with us in Afghanistan to try to defeat al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So, you know, these are the kinds of we have some common cause with Iran against terrorism, and we would make sure that everybody is safe.
And as I said, you know, the security issue will be the first thing on the
Absolutely.
Agenda when we get there. But I also want to point out that the Pittsburgh Symphony was the first American orchestra to play in a Muslim country after 9/11. 6 months after 9/11. We played in Malaysia, and the orchestra had to vote. There was a great deal of concern about the orchestra going to a Muslim country and performing, and the entire orchestra voted, and the orchestra voted to go.
I want to thank both of you for being with us to talk about this very interesting development. Pittsburgh Symphony Senior Vice President of Artistic Development and Audience Engagement, Robert Moyer, and also Simon Curtis, President of the American Middle East Institute. Good luck to you both, and we'll hope to have you back for an update.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we'll talk about what to do when it's cold outside and travel is difficult with travel correspondent Elaine LeBaum. She's got some great ideas coming up next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.